opening narration.
Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into Marcus Luttrell's Lone Survivor, which he wrote with Patrick Robinson. This isn't just another military story. It's incredibly raw. It's visceral, puts you right in the middle of it.
It really does. And what makes this account so powerful, so essential, is Luttrell himself. He wasn't just there during Operation Red Wings in Afghanistan 2005. He was the only military survivor.
Right. A SEAL Team 10 combat medic, a sniper. He saw it all.
Exactly. So his perspective is just invaluable. It's this firsthand, unflinching look at, well, brotherhood, incredible sacrifice, and just the sheer will to keep going.
And why talk about it now?
Because, you know, it really closes that gap between civilian life and what soldiers actually face. It kind of strips away any sanitized Hollywood version and shows you the brutal reality, the cost, and this deep warrior ethos. It's vital for understanding sacrifice.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's start before the mission. We hear about the SEAL mindset, that never quit attitude. Where did that come from for Luttrell? Was it just there or built?
Oh, it was definitely built. You look at his upbringing in Texas, very patriotic family. He and his twin brother, Morgan, they had this shared dream, you know, Navy SEALs.
That was the goal from early on.
Yeah. And crucially, they had this neighbor, Billy Shelton, an Army vet. Shelton didn't mess around. He put them through this really intense kind of informal training regime. Grueling stuff. That's where that never quit seed was really planted, you know, forge that resilience they'd need later.
So the foundation was there. What about the official training, the famous SEAL pipeline?
Right. So he enlists in 99, basically just to get to the SEALs. And then comes BDAS, basic underwater demolition SEAL training. Everyone's heard of Hell Week, right?
5.5 days, almost no sleep. Legendary stuff.
Exactly. Pushing guys way past what seems humanly possible, physically and mentally. But here's the thing about BDAS. It's not just about being tough physically. It's designed to break you down and then rebuild you. It instills this absolute mental toughness and maybe even more importantly, this unbreakable team bond, total reliance on each other.
Forged in that shared misery, I suppose.
Precisely. And that bond became the bedrock for everything that happened next in Afghanistan.
Which brings us to the deployment.
Yeah.
SEAL Team 10, Afghanistan. Operation Red Wings. What was the mission?
The objective was specific: find and neutralize a high-ranking Taliban-aligned militia leader, a guy named Ahmad Shah.
And Luttrell wasn't alone on the recon team.
No, it was a four-man team. Lieutenant Michael Murphy, Murph, the leader, Petty Officer Matthew Axelson, Axe, the sniper, and Petty Officer Danny Dietz, the comm specialist. And the dynamic, you have to understand the level of trust there. It was absolute. Your life is literally in their hands.
That trust, it was put to the test almost immediately, wasn't it? Things went wrong fast.
They did. They inserted into the Sotalo Sar Mountains, rough terrain. That part went okay. But then the unexpected happens. They run into three local goat herds, unarmed, two men, a teenage boy.
Oh, wow. Mission compromised.
Instantly. And this sparks this just agonizing debate, a real moral minefield.
What were the options? None of them good, I imagine.
Terrible options. Kill the civilians. That's a war crime. Violates the rules of engagement, the ROE. Tie them up, they'd likely die from exposure in the mountains, or let them go,
okay.
Which means they almost certainly run straight to the Taliban.
Luttrell is incredibly candid about this moment in the book. What did they decide?
He talks about this informal vote, says he voted to kill them. Axe was kind of on the fence, Dietz abstained. Ultimately, Lieutenant Murphy, the officer in charge, made the call, released them. He upheld his duty, his conscience, the ROE.
And Luttrell's reaction to that, looking back?
Brutally honest. He calls it the stupidest, most southern-fried, lame-brain decision he ever made. Says he turned into a fucking liberal, all heart, no brain. It just shows the immense weight of those calls.
And the consequences were immediate and devastating.
Almost instantaneous. They were ambushed. Estimates range from, 80 to maybe 200 Taliban fighters?
Against four SEALs?
Yeah. Vastly outnumbered, outgunned, terrible tactical position on this steep ridge.
What followed was just chaos.
Yeah.
A desperate, brutal firefight. Them fighting, retreating down the mountain. It's harrowing to read.
The heroism, though, and the loss. It's hard to even grasp. Danny Dietz hit multiple times, just kept fighting, kept trying to get comms out. Until he was killed.
Incredible bravery.
Then Lieutenant Murphy, he knew they needed help. He deliberately moved into the open, into a hail of bullets, just to get a clear signal for his sat phone. made the call, got through, and then he was killed. Posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for that.
Just unbelievable sacrifice.
And Matthew Axelson, Axe, badly wounded, fought on alone until he died too. But the tragedy wasn't over. There was a second wave of loss.
The rescue attempt.
Yeah, the quick reaction force. An MH-47 Chinook helicopter coming in, 8 Navy SEALs, 8 Army Night Stalkers, shot down by an RPG. Everyone on board, all 16, were killed.
So 19 American servicemen lost in total. Just staggering.
19. And amidst all that, Luttrell somehow survives.
Blown off a cliff by an RPG, broken back, shrapnel everywhere. The lone survivor, now in the truest sense, how did he even keep going?
Sheer will, mostly. Crawling for days through the mountains, dodging Taliban patrols, fighting infection, dehydration. It's almost unbelievable. Just pure survival instinct kicking in, fueled by that training, maybe.
But he didn't make it out alone, did he? There's another incredible twist.
Right. This is where the story takes such a surprising turn. He's found by local Pashtun villagers.
And instead of turning him in,
a man named Mohammed Gulab gives him water, takes him in, offers shelter. And this wasn't just random kindness. It was driven by this ancient tribal code, Pashtunwali.
Pashtunwali. Tell us about that.
It's this deep code of honor. A central tenet is Milmastia hospitality and protection for any guest, or Milma. You have to protect your guest at all costs, even from your own family or tribe if necessary, even if they're your enemy in a larger conflict.
So Gulab and his village risked everything.
Everything. They moved Luttrell from house to house, hiding him. They refused Taliban demands to hand him over, facing threats themselves. Eventually, Gulab made this incredibly dangerous journey to a U.S. base to let them know Luttrell was alive.
Which led to his rescue.
Exactly. An American force, Army Rangers, Green Berets, they came in and got him out. It's just this stunning moment of humanity, you know, right in the middle of all that brutality. A real testament to honor crossing cultural lines.
Core philosophy and values.
Okay, so moving beyond the timeline, Luttrell's story isn't just what happened. It's deeply infused with certain beliefs, right? What are the core philosophies driving this narrative?
Absolutely. Number one, without a doubt, is the unbreakable brotherhood of warriors. He describes it as something way beyond just friendship. It's this sacred trust, forged in intense shared experience and suffering together, absolute reliance. It even extends beyond death.
Like, the book is almost a tribute to that bond.
It really is. You could call it a love letter to his fallen teammates. And tied right into that is the warrior ethos, the SEAL creed, that never quit thing we talked about. It's codified. I will never quit. I persevere and thrive on adversity. My nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger. I am never out of the fight.
So it's mental strength over just physical power and team first.
Exactly. Mental toughness, dedication to the team above yourself. That's paramount.
Which also speaks to values like duty and honor.
Definitely. Duty, honor, and sacrifice. This deep commitment to the mission, the country, and especially the team. Willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice. A clear understanding that freedom isn't free. And then there's the complexity of moral decision-making. Even in that hellscape, they're grappling with rules of engagement, with a moral compass.
Like the goat herd situation. Humanity over maybe tactical sense.
Right. It shows that tension. And finally, Luttrell's whole purpose in writing seems to be truth and witness. He feels this deep obligation to tell the story, to make sure his brother's sacrifices aren't forgotten, to give people an unvarnished look at what war is really like.
Three pivotal turning points.
Every life has moments that change everything. For Luttrell and for this mission, there were some clear, dramatic turning points. Let's maybe break down three key ones.
Good idea. The first one has to be BUDS Hell Week and the forging of brotherhood. What happened there, as we discussed, was this incredibly intense physical and psychological test, pushing guys beyond limits, minimal sleep, constant stress.
And why was that so transformative, beyond just making them tough?
Because it wasn't just about individual toughness. It stripped them down, yes, but it rebuilt them as a team. It forced that absolute reliance, that trust. It created that unique SEAL brotherhood. That's the foundation that allowed them to fight the way they did later. It explains how they could face those odds. It wasn't just training. It was forging.
Okay, so that's the foundation. The second turning point feels like the heart of the tragedy, the moral dilemma with the goat herders.
Yeah. What happened? The four SEALs, deep on recon, suddenly face these three unarmed civilians. Creates that impossible choice we talked about.
Kill him, tie him up, let him go.
And why it was transformative is just starkly tragic. Lieutenant Murphy's decision to release them, upholding his duty, his ethics, it directly led to the ambush. That single decision basically sealed their fate, led to 19 deaths. It's this crushing illustration of command responsibility and that awful clash between military needs and moral rules in modern warfare. Doing the right thing ethically had devastating tactical results.
Such a heavy moment.
Then the third turning point offers a completely different kind of transformation, doesn't it? Mohammed Ghulab's act of Peshmerga.
It really does. What happened? Latrell, near death, alone, is found by Ghulab. And instead of being turned over, he's protected. At great risk to Ghulab and the whole village because of this ancient Pashtun code of honor, Peshmerga.
Yeah.
Protect the guest, the Melma.
And the transformation.
It literally saved his life, shifted his fate from almost certain death to survival. But more than that, it provided this powerful counter-narrative. Amidst the brutality, here's this profound act of honor, of compassion, that crosses all lines, war, nationality, religion. It shows you that humanity can pop up in the most unexpected corners, right? Challenges those simple black and white views of the conflict.
Human lessons and reflection.
So we've walked through the story, the values, the turning points. What does this all mean for us, for you listening? How do these extreme experiences connect back to, well, just being human? That's the crucial step, isn't it? Taking it from the mountains of Afghanistan into our own lives. And there's some really powerful lessons here. First, think about cultivating resilience and mental fortitude. Latrell's survival wasn't just luck. It was an act of will. It shows us resilience isn't something you're just born with. It's a skill. You build it by facing tough stuff, by pushing past what you think your limits are.
So we can reframe our own challenges, see them as chances to build that inner strength.
Exactly. Refuse to quit when things get hard. Learn from that seal never quit idea, even if our stakes are different.
And the teamwork aspect, that absolute trust.
Huge takeaway there. The power of teamwork and absolute trust. That SEAL team, their lives depended on each other, literally. It's a powerful model for any team, right? Work, sports, even family. Peak performance comes from that total trust, clear communication, putting the group goal first.
Makes sense. What about the ethical side, the goat herd decision?
That highlights ethical decision-making under immense pressure. The lesson, you need your moral framework sorted out before the crisis hits. For anyone in a leadership role, it's about weighing immediate gains against long-term moral consequences and being ready to own those decisions however they turn out.
That's a heavy one. And Ghulab's actions.
A really important lesson in challenging stereotypes and seeking deeper cultural understanding. Ghulab reminds us cultures aren't just one thing. Shared values, honor, kindness, courage, assistance. They exist everywhere, often where we least expect them. It pushes us to look past the headlines, you know, engage with more nuance.
Absolutely. And finally.
Finally, just a deeper appreciation for sacrifice. This book makes it real. It's not abstract. It connects you viscerally to what members of the armed forces go through. Hopefully it inspires gratitude, a better understanding of civic duty, maybe more thoughtful engagement with issues around war and peace. Maybe translates into better support for veterans, too.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. If you take away just three things from this deep dive into Lone Survivor, what should they be?
All right, three key takeaways. First, let's go with an emotional insight. It's the profound, almost sacred power of that human connection, that brotherhood forged in shared hardship and total reliance. These bonds are deeper than friendship, they survive death, and they create this lifelong duty to honor the fallen. Loss becomes purpose.
Okay, powerful. What about an intellectual takeaway?
An intellectual insight. Warfare, especially asymmetric warfare like this, is saturated with moral ambiguity. There are impossible choices. Following ethical rules like the ROE can actually lead to tactical disaster. It just obliterates any easy black and white understanding of combat. It forces you to grapple with complexity.
Yeah, definitely challenges simple views. And a universal insight, something practical for everyone.
A universal insight. Resilience isn't just something you have or don't have. It's a skill you build. You forge it by choosing to face adversity, to push through it. And maybe tied to that, the idea that incredible honor, real courage, deep compassion, they can show up in the most surprising people and places. Transcending all the lines we draw between us, conflict, nation, culture, that capacity for good is everywhere.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.